Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of November 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later in the program at Bennett Consulting Channel, Seeds will be here from Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll also talk about today's USDA report. A big set of numbers. Crop production doesn't usually change that much in November. Oh boy, did it change this time around. And as we happen to be at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, we were able to catch up with one of the guys, Joe Persaki, you've heard him before, from USDA NAS, that does a lot of the weighing at the lab in St. Louis for those implied ear weights that pushed the corn yield across the nation to a record high at 175 bushels plus to the acre. And we'll do all of that right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We hear the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. USDA report day, December corn down 6 3/4 at $3.41.5. The March at 354 3/4, 6.5 lower. The May down 6 1/4 at 363.5. And July at 371.5, down 6 cents. September 378 1/4, 6 1/4 lower. And December corn of next year down 6 1/4 cents at 387.5. November beans 12 3/4 lower, $9.75 1/4. The settlement price January at 9.85, down 13.5 cents. In the March, $9.96, down 13.5. The May at $10 and a nickel, 13 cents lower. July at 10.13.5, down 12 3/4. Next year's November at $9.99, down 9 1/4 cents. Bean oil off 23 cents. The bean meal down $3.40 at $3.11.80. Soft red winter wheat December contract 4.29, up 2 1/4. July the harvest month at 4.69.5 lower, and December hard red up 1.5 at 4.29. July at 4.73.5 for the hard red, down 0.5 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, December contracted $122.47.5, down 45 cents. And the February at 128.52.5, a nickel lower for the afternoon. Feeders at 158.47.5, a buck 15 higher, and lean hogs at 63.17.5, up 37.5 cents. Well, let's check some of the rest of the numbers as they're trading in Chicago. December crude oil at $57.15, up 34 cents a barrel. Ethanol futures at $1.44, about 0.6 cents lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.94.5 is 2 4/10 higher. And gasoline on the RBOB down 0.2 cents per gallon at $1.81.8. That's the wholesale price. Natural gas at $3.19.8. is currently down 2 3/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 23,391 is 100 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 94.36 is down 0.408. And the gold futures on the afternoon, currently trading at $1,285, are up $3.40. Hey, have you registered yet for the Farm Assets Conference? I hope so. If not, you can do that right now at willag.org. Should have a great day. Matt Bennett, who we'll hear a bit later in the program, will be there. We'll also have our regular analysts like Kurt Kimmel, and you'll hear from Chip Nellinger, and we'll have from Grainfield and some other places with us, our regular analyst as well. Make sure you pick up your tickets at willag.org. During the day, the ag economists from the U of I, including Todd Hubbs, to take a look at the commodity markets, Gary Schnitke to talk about conservation management and marrying that up with the economics of the farm, and Bruce Sherrick will be there to discuss the price of farmland. Tickets are just $35. This is the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, so you need to get yourself registered right now today. Don't wait. Do it at this point. willag.org.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. As a Small Business Administration preferred lender, Busey partners with businesses and entrepreneurs who bring vibrancy to the community. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. The United States Department of Agriculture, of course, released the crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. It made some changes. We'll go through those in just a bit. And the reaction in Chicago with Dan Zwicker, Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. But here's how things stand today. The carry-in for corn for the current crop year is 2.295 billion bushels. The yield for this year is 175.4 bushels to the acre. That's a record setter for 14.578 billion bushels and puts our carry out 147 bushels higher than it was last month for corn with 2.487 billion bushels. The average cash price for the year is at $3.20, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. The numbers for the soybeans carry in at 301 from last year's crop. The yield at 49.5, that's no change for this year's crop. They did drop total output or carry out to 425 million. That's down for 430. And production at 4.425 billion bushels. Cash price on average for the whole of the season at $9.30. How did things react in Chicago, Dan, to all this information? The corn number was big, and the soybean number, while it did not change domestically, increased a lot in the world production side.
Well, anytime you increase supplies, whether it's just here in the United States or around the world, the market is going to have to react to that increase in supply with some lower numbers, and that's exactly what we've done. Now, corn took the biggest hit because that was a 300 million bushel increase in production with that big jump in yield. Now, USDA did use up approximately half of that with, I think, some higher exports and maybe some higher feed usage and whatnot. They kind of used up half of that, but we still ended up with another 150 million bushels in the carryout, or roughly 2.5. Soybeans, like you said, they didn't change much on the U.S. balance sheet. Just fractional changes in the yield that kind of lowered production about 5 million bushels. So there wasn't any major impact on that. But I think the bearishness in the corn market and where beans have been kind of strengthening just kind of spilled over and just pulled soybeans down with them. As we speak here, beans down roughly 10 cents or so.
Any big impact that you can see that may take place on the technical side of the marketplace?
Well, I think that the soybeans have been in a sideways to higher uptrending channel. Just glancing at the chart action, what I see on my iPhone, it does look like we run the risk now of breaking underneath the uptrending line of that uptrending channel. A lot of it will depend upon maybe how we finish up today, but it does look like we could break that uptrend line. So that would be an indication that soybeans then are ripe for more of a corrective decline on what the advance we've had through the fall here. Now on corn, basically is what's happening is I still think we're kind of in a 340, 360 trading range for the lead futures contract, but with today's loss in December corn, we're down at the bottom end of that 340, 360, and then the March futures, which is going to be basically the functional lead futures contract here in another couple weeks, it's in the mid 350s. So I still think the lead futures contract or the functional lead futures contract is still going to stay in this 340, 360 trading range. But with today's big increase in production, and even though USDA did use half of it up in demand, we'll have to see whether or not the export pace will stay on pace to meet what USDA is now projecting to be exports. We did have the best export, weekly export sales, I think, in history maybe today. We did have a big export sales in corn. So export demand for corn is quite stout given what I think everybody was thinking maybe here a couple months ago. We'll have to see whether or not that continues. And then we'll have to kind of watch these quarterly reports, which we won't get a quarterly report until the January final. And that'll give us a little better idea of whether or not feed usage is keeping up with what USDA is projecting. And of course, we get weekly ethanol numbers to see whether or not we'll be able to meet USDA's ethanol projections.
We'll hear from Joe Persaki in just a few minutes here about today's report. He operates part of a lab in St. Louis that does the implied ear weights, and that's really where this number for corn changed. Ear weights from September to October were heavy, and then they got heavier again in November. And the bottom line, he says, is in October they just didn't have enough ears in to really get a good grasp on how heavy the crop might be and what the yield might be. So that changed pretty dramatically. This is something that's entirely different than we've seen in the past. A change from from October to November is very unique. Do we have any years past that you can think of that can give us some guidance as to the way the corn market might work in the coming months?
No, not other than when you're talking about a carryout as large as what we are. And I know the carryout may not be quite as large on a percentage basis of what we've maybe had historically. But I would say, from here on out, we are in a global market. And so in the South America, production is going to be key here. And what kind of weather pattern they have through their growing season and what size of crop they're going to harvest sometime later this winter or early spring. But, just glancing at the attitude of the market, my guess is corn is sideways, range bound. Soybeans, I think, are probably going to come under a little pressure. I do hear some rumblings out in the country that seed corn salesmen and bean sales seedmen, the farmers are definitely leaning into the beans more so than corn. So it does look to me like we'll see higher soybean acres next year and smaller corn acres, but to what magnitude, we'll have to kind of wait and see how that goes. That in the long run will probably want to have a tendency to keep new crop soybeans under pressure, maybe depending upon how South America goes. And it may have a tendency to be somewhat of a supporting influence to new crop corn if we're going to see any kind of major switching of, 3 million acres one where if we are going to gain 3 more million in soybeans and maybe lose 3 in corn. That would probably be somewhat positive, the corn market longer term. But we've got a long ways to go, I think, before the market is going to really worry about next year's production. We've got to get this current crop harvested and get it put away in the bin. And then we're going to have to see what happens in South America. But with this type of supply around, it's going to take weather issues somewhere in the world, I think, to stir up any kind of major excitement in the marketplace.
We did Commodity Week already, so I know the answer to this question from three folks who will join us. Folks can hear that at willag.org. They were of the mind with corn just to go ahead and put it in the bin and wait it out. How about you?
Well, I guess from a technical point of view, as long as we stay in this sideways trading range, in theory, what the market is trying to do is reduce corn acres or reduce production and increase demand with cash corn prices, basically Central Illinois cash corn prices in this $3 range. So that is what a sideways market in theory is supposed to do, and I think that's what it will do. It will reduce supply. or production prospects. Now, how much demand it increases, we'll have to kind of wait and see on that. USDA does have some pretty lofty demand numbers out there. And like I said, we won't know whether or not those numbers are attainable until we get a little further down the marketing year, and the marketing year just basically has begun. So I think that the January report, where we'll get a new final production number, and then we'll get December 1st stocks reports, and that'll give us, I think, an indication of what's happening, at least on the domestic disappearance. And that'll maybe tell us a little more whether or not these low prices are going to generate more demand for corn.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker, of course, is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Well, we're lucky to be here in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention today because Joe Prasaki is here. You'll remember we've talked with Joe a long time ago when he was out in Washington, D.C. fairly often. However, he's made his way to St. Louis, and Joe is responsible in part for some of the weighing that happens of all the corn ears. And as you probably already remember and heard, a lot of the change that happened with the bigger yield for corn today came simply because the implied ear weight went up substantially this month. How did that happen?
So Todd, first off, I'm Joe Prasaki with USDA NAS with the National Operations Division in St. Louis, Missouri. And so when you look at these numbers, the question always comes up, why? What happened? What's the difference between last month and this month? Well, as everyone's been saying, is the harvest has been behind for corn this year. I think we can all agree on that. It looks like it's been delayed, been pushed back. So what that means is data coming to the lab, which is in St. Louis, is delayed coming in. So when we're processing information, we get those corn samples in. Finally, this time in November, we've got pretty much all the samples in. And that's where, like you said, that's exactly where the change came from. It's in grain weight this time, because the number of ears is roughly holding the same as what it has in the past, but it's an increase in grain weight.
So that did what to yield state by state?
So overall in the U.S., it looks like it's about a 3.6 bushel increase for the U.S. On corn yield. Now, where the big increases are is Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota are up about 6. Wisconsin's up about 4 bushels to the acre. Indiana up 8. So that's kind of interesting, and also North Dakota up 8. So we're getting a lot of increases. There's a few states that went down. Nebraska went down, Michigan went down, and then you get down to Georgia and Alabama. But again, when you look at the states with the acreage, it's the I states and Minnesota and South Dakota, North Dakota, and that's what's driving the yield up.
So it's something you just couldn't have seen from the USDA numbers ahead of time, because this is an implied stat number. You've done that in Washington, D.C. Does this blindside the NAS folks as much as it does the trade?
Well, I don't know if it blindsides. It's because it's interesting in the fact that, you know, as we went into this, you know, you're going into this, it's like you asked the question in October, it's like how much of the samples are in, you know, actually for testing. And you could tell this year it was less than, I use the word normal. And who knows what that last bit could have been. That last bit, you know, that comes in, you know, in for the November forecast, it could have went up, it could have went down. So when people ask me, Joe, are you surprised by these? It's like, well, I've done it long enough. It's like, I'm intrigued by it, you know, rather than surprised, because it all depends. It's a combination of things that comes into it.
Well, the bottom line is we have a whole lot more corn than we expected, and we have to trade that. Between now and January, what happens to put the January reports together?
Yeah, so starting at the end of November, that's about the 27th or so, 27th, 28th, something like that, we'll start data collection for the December Agricultural Survey, and that's a broader spectrum of farm operators to get final acreage yield and production and on-farm grain stocks for the spring planted crops. Those data will be compiled, and those are released on the 12th of January for that big report, that end of the year report. So they'll be busy working on that.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks, Todd.
Joe Prusaki is with USDA NASS. He is located at the lab in St. Louis, Missouri, where they develop the implied ear rates. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Matt Bennett is here now. He's from Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt will, by the way, join us at the Farm Assets Conference in Bloomington Normal on the 21st of November. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. You can come and see him, another six of our analysts. We'll have a fantastic day. A whole bunch of the ag economists from the U of I will be there. We'll take up the farm bill with some ag staffers too. So drop in and do that. You can buy the tickets online, willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, 800-898-1065. The cost is just $35. Matt, I don't know whether we'll put anybody in the seats after today's USDA bombshell, and I think we can call it that because it was so far outside of the expectations today. Even USDA in their executive summary put themselves versus what the expectation were, and they were way up on the corn number above 175 bushel to the acre. How did you take that?
Well, you know, I guess I expected them to come up. I've been fairly forthright about that of late, and I think a big reason for that is simply me reaching out to the people that read my newsletter and just saying, hey, I need to know where you're at if you're willing to share. And I don't know how many people have written me and said, you know, my corn was a lot better than what I thought it was going to be, first of all. Second of all, hearing a lot of guys late season that are saying their replant corn is the best corn they harvested, sometimes by a fair margin. And it, I mean, we're hearing some monster yields here and there, and we're not hearing the same thing with soybeans. So I thought beans might scale back just a hair. I thought corn might go up, but by no means did I expect to see a 175 plus today.
Yeah, so this was all about the implied ear weight, and if you check out our site, willag.org, you'll see that chart from the executive summary at USDA. Good deal to find. What do we do now for corn? Producers have corn. There's still some of them harvesting. It's in the bin. They generally lock it away at this time of the year. Do they need to just leave it there?
You know, we've been saying all along we wanted to see producers lock in the carry in the market. You know, we felt like whenever we were able to look at, you know, a July situation with 380 or close to 380 corn, we were saying to go ahead and hedge it. Still with 370 corn, I mean, you basically got the same premise because you've got a 30-cent carry in the market. Go ahead and hedge that. And then at some point, the elevator system is going to need the bushels more than what they need it today. Chances are basis will improve. Now, I don't know that we're going to be able to expect any huge basis moves because there's obviously going to be a lot of corn on hand. So at this point, yes, I would still want to lock in the carry in the market, look for a basis improvement. If you can pick up another 10 or 15 cents, that would be fantastic. But by all means, if you're still harvesting, it's a tough situation if you're out of storage room at home. There's not really any good deals going on in any elevators. The only places that there's a good deal is where they're bidding for those final bushels. You might see a decent basis, but it sure isn't going to be enough to recuperate the kind of losses we're seeing on the board today.
Hey, Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey, empowering individuals with financial education through their Resource Center. For online calculators, planning checklists, and articles, visit Busey.com. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It's National Scrapple Day. Scrapple is traditionally a mush of pork scraps, cornmeal, and flour, and is arguably the first pork food invented in America. On this day in agricultural history in 1801, American manufacturer Gale Borden was born. He invented a commercial method for condensing milk by heating it in a vacuum. He also created a meat biscuit of cooked meat extracts and flour that was capable of long-term storage. He was the founder of the New York Condensed Milk Company, which in 1968 became Borden. In 1891, George Hormel opened his meat packing house in Austin, Minnesota. To make ends meet in those early days, Hormel continued to trade in hides, eggs, wool, and poultry. In 1911, George Claude applied for a patent for an electric neon sign. In 1938, Edward Murray East died, an American botanist and chemist. He contributed to genetic theory and to the development of hybrid corn by applying inbred strain breeding, what was then a revolutionary method of seed production. Specifically, he concentrated on controlling the protein and fat content of possible hybrids. East also studied the genetics and breeding of tobacco and potatoes. And in 1965, at 5:15 p.m., a 13-hour blackout of the northeastern U.S. and parts of Canada began when the electric grid failed. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey, empowering individuals with financial education through their Resource Center. For online calculators, planning checklists, and articles, visit Busey.com. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Mike Tenora is not available for us to take a look at the weather forecast. Let's jump right into it, though. See what's been happening in South America. In Mato Grosso this week, beginning today, they should be in the 90s. They'll cool off by the time we get to the end of the weekend, but stay in those upper 80s. Their lows in the lower 70s, and they should have, say, some rainfall maybe today and Saturday and Monday and then again Thursday. Mato Grosso, of course, is the area in Brazil that they raise about 37% of the crop for soybeans, that is. A bit further to the south, the next state down, Mato Grosso do Sul, it'll be a little cooler, highs in the mid-80s for the next couple of days, and rainfall today and tomorrow. Then they clear out all the rest of the week, and they'll drop down to the low 80s for their highs, and their lows will be in the mid-60s for that time frame. Goiás, another state in Brazil, a high of just 70 degrees at the moment. It is raining there today. It will rain tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Their temperatures will come up during that time frame, and they'll have lows in the 60s. Paraguay in Brazil today, 90 degrees, rainfall. Tomorrow, rainfall. They'll clear out Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with clear and sunshine. Not terribly hot. Highs in the mid-80s, lows in the upper 50s to low 60s. And then in Argentina, Cordoba, 78 degrees for the day. They're on their way to 83, 55 for the low tonight. Friday, clear skies again, 84, 86 Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They'll go into the 90s and stay there for a few days before they begin to cool back down. But their lows in Argentina, Cordoba area, in the upper 60s to low 70s over that time frame. Hey, don't forget that you should visit our website, willag.org, and buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference there. We're running out of time, and frankly, I need you to go ahead and make that reservation today at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, to see all the details, or call 800-898-1065. The Farm Assets Conference is the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. I know you've been busy in the field. You're thinking about anhydrous ammonia, but go ahead and get yourself booked this afternoon. Don't wait. Don't delay. We have a really good program set up for you, and I'd like to see you there. The day is just $35. That includes your noon meal, the parking there, a great facility at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal, Illinois. From the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This has been the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.